This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday. We'll check in with the former Senator Bill Bradley. Won a couple of titles with the Knicks. Of course, was a great player. College Player of the Year 1965 at Princeton and leading Princeton to the Final Four appearance. And a three-time Ivy League champ will join him coming up in a moment here. Japan beats USA in dramatic fashion, 3-2 to win the World Baseball Classic. Shohei Ohtani against his teammate Mike Trout to end it. And this is how it sounded on Fox Sports 1.
Ohtani's ready. Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
Couldn't have planned it any better. As scripted, in fact, John Smoltz, who was there on the call for Fox Sports 1, said he could see where Ohtani could come in late in the game and face Mike Trout. He had hoped for that. I think we all did. But I thought it was a big win for baseball, certainly Japan, and Shohei Ohtani. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Seton, you want to give us an update on the poll results so far?
Yeah, Danny, we got a new one that's special for this hour, too. I threw up last hour, do you feel bad for Mike Trout? Your options were yeah or absolutely not.
Okay.
75% say absolutely not.
I felt bad for him because he hasn't had many big moments. This is your big moment, and it's a tournament that was manufactured. He's had three playoff games. You got a world stage, and you're facing your teammate. So I did. I felt bad. I wish he would have put it in play, not struck out. Yeah,
Steve. See, I kind of thought of Mike Trout's teammates over the years when I saw him strike out last night, because this is his one big at-bat pretty much in his entire career.
Yeah.
And for his whole career, he's been told, hey, it's not your fault. It's everybody else around you. It's not your fault your team stinks because you're awesome. You're great. It's everybody else that's holding you back. And he had this big moment and whiffed.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Hall of Famer and two-time champ with the Knicks, the former Senator Bill Bradley joining us on the show. Bill, good to talk to you again. The passing of Willis Reed at the age of 80. What's your favorite story of Willis Reed that you can tell this audience?
Well, I'm a rookie, and Willis, of course, is the captain. And he only calls me by my last name. And that bothered me. He called everybody else by their first name. So I went to him and I said, Willis, how about calling me by my first name like you call everybody else? And he pauses, 6'9", 240, looks down at me and says, okay. Bradley. In other words, he was letting me know who the boss was.
Take us back to 1970 Game 7. When did you guys realize that Willis was going to play in that deciding game against the Lakers?
Well, DeBuscher says he knows that he was going to take a shot. I didn't. So I didn't know he was going to play until he showed up on the court. And, I'm warming up and the Lakers are warming up and suddenly there's a rumble and the crowd, the building begins to shake. And Look, it's Willis coming on, and West, Baylor, and Chamberlain have stopped their practicing, and they're watching to see Willis walk on the floor. They want to see if he can move at all because he's torn the abductor muscle. You can't lift your legs, supposedly. And then we get the game begins. First two times down, as it has it, Will stays under the basket, doesn't come out. Willis has an open 16-foot shot. He hits both of them. After that, the game's over. I mean, Clyde has one of the great, I think the best seventh game in the history of the NBA. He scores like 36 points, 19 assists. And I remember I introduced him one day and I said, and Clyde Frazier scored 36 points, 19 assists. And he says, and 9 rebounds.
And he wasn't the MVP.
Yeah.
That they gave it to Willis.
I think that the MVP goes to the man with the courage and the total put his career on the line for his team. That doesn't happen often in sports, but it happened that day in that circumstance.
Did you guys design plays? Did Red Holtzman design plays for Willis the first two times down against Wilt Chamberlain?
No, it was just the fact that if Wilt had come out, it would have been a contested shot. But, you know, Wilt didn't really come out.
Can you describe what it was like to play against Wilt Chamberlain?
Well, he was an incredibly imposing physical specimen. I mean, you know, I as a forward would often reach back and try to knock the ball out of the hand of the center, right? So when I reached back to try to knock it out of Wilt's hand, it was like hitting a brick wall. And at one point, I even injured my shoulder trying to do it. But he was, a tremendous player. But in, you know, to my mind, I'd pick Russell over Chamberlain. That's the old contest. But you know, Wilt seemed to think that the answer to everything was a stat, and I don't think that's what basketball is all about.
What was it like to play against Russell?
He's the smartest player I ever played against. He got the best out of his teammates. And he turned defense into offense. And he was, somebody who really knew what was going through the mind of a player. For example, once I hit like 3 in a row on Satch Sanders, who's guarding me. We get to a foul, and Russell's on one side of the foul line, I'm on the other. And Satch is next to me. And he looks at Satch, then he looks at me, and he says, "Come on, Satch. You gonna let that guy do it?" So, I mean, I thought about that for a while.
Russell's getting into your head.
Which is what he wanted me to do. No respect.
Your Princeton Tigers in the Sweet 16. First of all, take us back. Was it the third place? Was it a consolation game when you scored 58?
Yeah, that was the third place game.
What do you remember about that?
I remember that my teammates and my coach said, "Shoot the damn ball."
Why?
Well, it was my last game. And they knew that I'd passed it a lot, passed to them and so forth. And they said, "Shoot it." And so I did, and didn't have a bad night.
But it's a third-place game, so were you?
Yeah, it's a third-place game. Yeah. They don't do those anymore. What I thought about, of course, was that we lost the night before, which is what I'd want to be playing in the finals, not in the consolation.
This Princeton Tiger team, competing in, what is the landscape of college basketball with NIL and, big-time money here. How surprised are you Princeton is here in the Sweet 16, given what college basketball is now?
I'm very pleased. It shows that the dedication to the craft is paying off. In other words, they know the fundamentals, and they play unselfishly. They box out. They hit the open shot. They play good defense, and I'm glad to see Mitch has got them at a point where they believe in themselves, and it couldn't be coming at a better time because Creighton won't be easy. No further game will be easy. Not that the past were easy either. They rose to the occasion. They showed real character, in my view.
When you were senator, did you have basketball games that you guys would play? Like congressmen, senators, any of that?
They had a gym in the House, not in the Senate. And I went over to play basketball, I think, three times in 18 years. And each of the times was because I wanted somebody's vote that I knew.
Okay, did you let him beat you to get their vote?
No. I don't remember what happened. I have no recollection.
Yeah, I'll bet. When you got to the NBA, did you guys have to buy your own shoes?
Yeah, I bought my own shoes. I sent them to St. Louis, Missouri, to my mother's college roommate, who's a chiropodist, who put big arches in them. I bought Converse All-Stars, sent to St. Louis, put the big arches in, returned to me. Yeah.
Why didn't guys get sprained ankles back then, Bill, wearing the Converse All-Stars?
Well, some people did get sprained ankles. But the Converse All-Stars weren't terrible shoes at all.
Yeah, but they didn't have any support there. I wore those high-top Converse.
Was that why you didn't make it in the pros?
Yeah, I didn't make it in college, Bill. I had a better chance of being a senator, I think, than playing college basketball. What do you think about your Knicks today?
I like the way they're playing. I mean, I hope that they, make it into the playoffs and go – Have a great playoff.
Do you have any memorabilia left from your Knicks days winning the championships? You keep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of memorabilia.
What do you got?
Uniforms, warm-ups, rings. Although I misplaced one of my championship rings. I can't find it, but that's just only a testimony to my own messiness, not to.
Is it in the house somewhere, though?
Yeah, I would assume it is, yeah.
I got it. We have to have an investigation here. Well, you don't seem too unnerved.
By the way, I have about 27 pairs of my old Converse, if you're interested.
I would love to have a pair. Could I put a pair in the man cave?
Yeah, by all means.
Okay. As long as you autograph them.
Okay.
All right. I'll put you on hold. Can we do that? And I'll give you the address. Can I do that?
Yeah. Before you go, let me just show you this picture here. Okay. That's a picture of me jumping in Willis's arms.
That was 73?
73 championship right there.
Was that more special than 70?
Well, 70 was the mountaintop. 73 was, I had more fun playing that year than any year that I played basketball. The team was great. Earl arrived. Jerry Lucas arrived. Willis was still there. Barnett still had some moves. So that was, to me, the most enjoyable year. 70 was a championship. It was great. But, there were a lot of tension. He hadn't been there before. But now we knew what it was, and we knew how we could get there. And we went out and did it.
More interesting to watch Earl the Pearl Monroe or Clyde?
They're different players, and they bring different things to the game. Earl's virtuosity was improvisation, and Clyde's strength was fundamental basketball with great quickness with his hands, and particularly on steals, and a willingness to – he played at a pace that seemed slightly slow, but wasn't. It was like Oscar Robertson, played at a pace that he paced it the way he wanted to pace it, and he got the shot he wanted, which was really important.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard does that. Luka Doncic, they almost slow the game to the pace that they want to play. It's like everybody else is playing rock and roll, and they're playing jazz when they're out there.
I think to a certain extent that's true. But a lot of times we did this without the ball, without the player having the ball. The ball was moving. It wasn't me holding the ball, but the ball was going from one player to another, but we weren't rushing the pass.
How good a player was Phil Jackson?
Phil was a good player. He was on our 73 championship team. He was the backup forward, And he had a great hook shot, and he was a competitor. People say, well, did you see Phil Jackson's coaching future as a player? The answer is yes. He was, a student of the game, unselfish, studied opponents and his teammates, was dedicated to defense, which means positioning. And I could easily see how he would become a great coach.
When's the last time you shot a basketball?
Oh, God. It's about before the pandemic.
Okay.
Like 2019.
Don't you miss that feeling? Just taking a couple of jumpers and just hearing the net?
Jumpers, I don't know about.
Okay. But, set shot.
Shooting, yeah, I miss it. And, I sometimes, at least until the pandemic, I would go down alone in a court and just shoot. And I'd go through the usual routine. I no longer hit 15 in a row from five spots, but I'd say if I hit, 10 out of 13, I'd be satisfied at 15 feet.
Yeah, I love doing it. I love solo. I like just going out. There's something about just sort of going into a vacuum and just shooting hoops and letting everything else fall to the wayside.
That's very true. There's a rhythm to the bouncing of the ball, the movement of the arms, the follow through. And then when you are rewarded with that magic sound, swoosh.
I know. No better sound. Nope. Except for a golf ball going in the hole. That one's up there too, but
I wouldn't know about that.
Thanks again. I know, obviously, mixed emotions here with Princeton and Willis, but it's great to talk to you.
It really is mixed emotions. When I heard about, I was actually walking through Central Park yesterday morning, and I got a call from Gail, Willis's wife. And when she told me he had passed, I sat down on a rock and cried, literally. And he was a man of great dignity and strength and tremendous friend to me for many years. I'll miss him.
You rarely heard a bad word about him. I mean, and even if you did.
Unless your name was Rudy LaRusso.
Oh, that former San Francisco Warrior?
Yeah, that's the guy he knocked out in a melee.
But Rudy probably had it coming to him, Bill.
I don't know.
Knowing Rudy, I mean, he was an instigator, though, wasn't he?
Well, he went to Dartmouth. What do you expect?
He couldn't get into Princeton, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks again for joining us. And I look forward to getting a pair of those Converse. Okay. Thank you, Bill. That's the former Senator Bill Bradley, Hall of Famer. Won a couple of championships with the Knicks. You go back... Player of the Year, 1965, led Princeton to the Final Four. And was a very good NBA player. But he had a style, a feel for the game that fit with what the Knicks were going to do. The Knicks would always make the extra pass. They played defense, they made the extra pass, and it didn't feel like there was a star system there. It just felt like DeBuscher one night, Earl Monroe one night, Walt Frazier one night, Willis one night. Jerry Lucas. Jerry Lucas is one of the first true great shooting big men in the history of the game. When you look at a guy, perimeter jumpers, 15 to 18 feet, Jerry Lucas would be shooting threes now. That's how good a shooter he was when he came out of Ohio State, or made himself into a great deep shooter. Him and Dan Issel are two of the better deep shooting big man that I remember. Yeah, Paul.
I think it's real fascinating for guys like us who weren't around for Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell to hear a guy who played against him be candid and say, Wilt Chamberlain was about the stats.
Yeah.
And because he's not making that up. It's not an opinion. It's it's a fact when he says it. And that was really enlightening.
Let's take a break. Thanks for tracking him down, Fritzy. That was a treat for me to talk to Bill Bradley. All right. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show. Every week we talk about our friends at Panini America. We just had the Prism cards that Seton brought out, and everybody got some great cards except for me. But there's something for everybody in those Panini trading cards. It's just the Danettes somehow got like really, really, really special cards.
Yeah, I got a Prism Break card.
Yeah, I didn't.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I didn't get
no
it.
No big deal.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Todd got
Devontae
some.
Adams. Yeah. It's all sparkly and blue and awesome.
Make sure you check out the newly released NFL Mosaic, the Prism Cards, NBA Hoops, and more of your favorite Panini brands. Now is NFTs, by the way, the only platform where you can win physical versions of your NFTs. Panini NFT trading cards giving you the opportunity to pull autographed cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, even one-of-one NFTs from every pack. And it's great when we get the package, and I have to tell the Danettes, do not open it until I tell you to open it. Visit PaniniAmerica.net/blockchain, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Here you go, Todd. Your favorite artist.
You'll bring it home now.
High school.
Up.
Make you look like a fool. All righty. Springsteen's on tour. Maybe we could get him come in.
Didn't do the bracket challenge. At least he can do his maybe.
Did you reach out to Springsteen to do
it? I wanted my boss bracket. I could share it with you guys. I go, look at this, the boss.
Springsteen. Well, you did reach out to just about everybody.
If Natalie Portman can't do it, maybe Bruce Springsteen.
Did you reach out to Taylor Swift to do a bracket?
I did not. I thought that was just going to be 10 billion followers, whatever. That wasn't going to happen. But I did think we had a shot at all the other ones.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
But, you know.
I like to believe that we do.
I want to go see Taylor Swift on tour. Yes.
So I just heard about Taylor Swift's show that she's doing now?
Over 3 hours.
It's over 3 hours. She does something like 45 songs or something. That's very Bruce Springsteen-like.
Yes, okay.
He goes for hours.
If you said I could go see Springsteen or Taylor Swift, I'm going for Tay-Tay.
I'm going T-Swizz.
Yes.
All day.
Good call.
Yeah, Paul.
Bruce Springsteen, Saturday, April 1st, Madison Square Garden, and the next night in Brooklyn he's playing. Tickets are available. What do you think the best ticket price is right now, closest to the hole, to get into Springsteen at Madison Square Garden? Closest to the hole.
$350.
Well, I'm giving that to you. It's
$352. Wow.
Whoa.
We're ending the contest. Yeah, it's Section 320, Row BS3. That's not even like that.
Bruce Springsteen, Row BS.
Ooh, semi-obstructed view.
Yeah. Semi-obstructed.
Okay. Here's the thing. The stage tickets right in front of the stage are general admission. So,
I don't like that.
Get ready for that mosh pit.
But yeah.
There's only like 30 rows of general admission of the best seats in the house. They're $3,000 a piece. And whoever, first come, first serve. But only 30 rows. The rest of the place is fixed tickets.
Yeah, I don't like when there's a mad rush to the stage.
Want to compare ticket prices? T-Swizzle?
I'm going to say T-Swift is a lot more money.
Whole place.
Okay. But, yeah, it's like she has 17 wardrobe changes, and it's over 3 hours.
And there's a band opening.
Paramore. Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, Phoebe Bridgers is on some dates. I know Paramore is opening, but, I mean, they'll probably do a 45-minute set.
Oh, do you know who went to see Taylor Swift the other night? Anybody want to guess? Friend of the show? J.J. Watt.
Husband of the year.
Yep. He tweeted out that he was there and, couldn't believe all the over 3 hours.
It's probably an awesome show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Get to hear Taylor's version on some of those songs. Yes, Pauline.
Okay, Taylor Swift tickets. Oh, boy.
Okay.
They're hard to get at any price.
I don't think you can get them. I think the whole tour is sold out.
It's sold out on her website.
Yeah.
You can get, she's playing East Rutherford, New Jersey, MetLife.
Yep.
The best price I can get you in for is $900, and that's section 345.
Ouch. Wow.
I think you maybe you'll see her shoulder from that area from where the angle I'm looking at. 900 is your best price.
Yeah, when you say, I went to see Taylor Swift, it's I went to hear Taylor Swift, because you might not see her with those seats.
On the monitor, you could see her.
Thank you, Todd.
I can get you row 16 for $3,600 a piece.
A piece?
Yeah.
Jeepers, creepers.
Yeah, Marv.
Don't you think stadium tours are just bad ideas? Do you think it's just a bad idea?
Why?
It just looks like it's just too big.
But that's more people who get a chance to see an artist.
Barely.
Okay.
The $900 in row 819.
The best concert I went to where they somehow made a huge stadium look intimate. Do you guys want to guess? Paulie?
Rolling Stones?
No. Stop me up!
That's just an excuse for
you.
Yes,
I know.
Tesla, 5-man acoustical jam?
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Todd?
Your Britney Spears concert.
No, I had great seats for that. That was off to the side.
Yeah, the adult section.
Yes.
Adult section.
There were plenty of seats available in the adult section.
Parents
when
over
I went,
here.
Yeah, when I went to see Britney Spears solo. Yes, Marv?
Fish?
No.
They don't play stadiums.
They play the Garden
they play the Garden 18 days in a row.
Oh,
yes. Oh, yeah.
This is a big deal.
They could sell out the Garden for a month. Yeah. They could just keep playing for, 30 days. U2 had the Heart.
Oh, yeah.
And they somehow made it an intimate concert. And it was, I saw it in Chicago. And the Heart, where people were inside, and the band would go around, outside on the Heart. So they were in the audience, deep into the audience, so they go back on stage. It was extremely well done. Yes, Eden.
That tour, I had seats inside the Heart.
Yeah.
For the U2 concert, but it was the same day as my brother's wedding.
Well, you would stand in the Heart.
So you missed your brother's wedding?
It was close. It was close. It was close.
I was with a friend. And we're in the Heart for U2. And we went all the way to the back of the Heart. And he said, why aren't we trying to go upstage? And this is when, who opened up?
The
brothers, Caleb and
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon opened up. The other time I saw him, Muse opened up for him. But I'm at the back of the stage, the inside part of the stage, the heart. And my friend goes, why aren't we up there? I said, you want to be right here. And all of a sudden, they played a couple of songs. They're right above us. You had Bono and Edge. Edge is using his guitar almost like it's a knife or a weapon going after Bono. It was great. It was really pretty spectacular. Yes, Paul?
You guys ever go to a concert and the opening act band was like a nobody, but you saw them when they were still a nobody and they became big?
Kings of Leon and Muse.
Yeah. Or they weren't big yet?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. If they were, they were right on the cusp. I remember Muse sounded incredible. You know, it was like, wow. Yes,
you have to be a certain kind of band to fill an arena. You know, Muse can do that.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift can do that. But you have to be a certain, just a massive, massive production.
Yes, boy.
Rolling Stone has a list of concerts.
Stop me up!
Where, and it's big name bands, and they had a somewhat of a nobody who became huge. Stevie Wonder opened for the Rolling Stones in like when he was very young. He was just becoming a solo tour. Guns N' Roses opened for Aerosmith in 1988.
Ooh.
A year later, they had the number one.
That would have been good.
Same year, Guns N' Roses opened for Motley Crue. Oh, killed to have gone to that.
Did Hendrix open for the Beatles? Does that sound even plausible?
Checking. Okay. In 1980, Prince opened for the Rolling Stones.
Ooh.
Dang.
Man. Yeah, Marv.
Prince also opened up for Rick James. Imagine that tour. the after parties just alone.
Yeah, but I don't know if Prince would have indulged in that.
I got the one you're looking for. In 1966, Jimi Hendrix opened up for the Monkees.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, he broke through with a single Purple Haze in the summer of 67.
Darn it.
Just months before, he agreed to do some shows for the Monkees, which was a comedy TV show.
And not everybody played their own instruments in the Monkees. You know, Mike Nesmith, I think, was, and I think his mom invented or dad invented liquid paper. And he wore the beanie. He always had his hat on. Mickey Dolenz, Davy Jones, and Peter Tork. And then Peter Tork's brother was a running back, Eric Torkelson, for the Green Bay Packers.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Deep dive.
Yeah, bloop, bloop. Yeah. Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix did an interview. He said he was booed off the stage the four nights he opened for the Monkees because it was a bunch of like teenagers
of
wanting to see the Monkees.
Yeah.
And he's doing his thing, which was,
wow.
Yeah. Mature.
Excuse me.
Mature.
While I kiss the sky.
Play Last Trains of Clarksville already. Yeah.
Pleasant Valley Sunday.
I don't know how we got on this. Marvin, you have no idea what we're talking about.
I am lost on Jimi Hendrix opening up for the Monkees. I don't even know who the Monkees are. I know who Hendrix is.
Why don't you Google them?
It takes work.
They had an unbelievable TV show.
They were the Monkees.
It was a fictitious band, but they made real songs.
I think they had a cartoon also, like they did with the Globetrotters. They were that big.
Mm. Thank you, Todd.
An animated series or something.
Yes, I know.
Oh!
I think we're talking about Springsteen not filling out a bracket and then going to a Taylor Swift concert. Yes, Marvin.
I was just going, hoo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, you were.
We're hauling out.
We do this all day. Just random, where we'll go, hoo-hoo, as Todd does his Springsteen impersonation.
We're going to go home now. Okay. Bring it home.
All righty. By the way, John Morant held a press conference. He is, I guess, coming back tonight. Could come back as early as tonight. And he talked about what happened at the strip club in Denver.
I made, a terrible decision, but being away from, my team definitely, what hurt me the most. I sent message to him, apologizing and stuff, but it's better to, talk to him in person. So finally being able to be back to do that definitely, helps me out a lot and, make me a lot more comfortable.
I don't know if he believes what he's saying. I don't know if he's saying because he thinks this is what he needs to say or we want to hear. He also had this to say.
I'm always be Ja.
I won't change, you know, for anybody. The only problem with me right now is, you know, just getting into, you know, a space mentally that, you know, I'm very comfortable in and, you know, I feel good at. That's why I made the decision to, you know, take the time away and, you know, go to counseling, and that helped me learn, you know, a lot of things.
And he said he went for stress, not alcoholism. And I had wondered, I had been given a heads up that, you know, this might be alcohol related, that he was going to take this time away. He came out and said, no, it's stress. It wasn't alcohol. It's a throwaway line, I think. I don't know if he knows that he said, hey, I'm not going to change. I'm going to be Ja. No, you got to change. You do. You can still be Ja, whatever that means to you, but you got to start changing some of the things. Now, he may go kicking and screaming and say, I don't want to change for anybody. But and in fairness to him, he might say, this is how I got here, by being myself. But feels like as you move forward, we better smooth out some of these edges here. Because maybe it's just smoke. But eventually, if it becomes a fire, then we got a really, really big issue. Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. Not this family. The Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Former Celtic great Paul Pierce will join us on the program. Some people are emailing and tweeting concerts that they saw where the opening act was a big deal. Taylor Swift opened for George Strait. Also, Bruce Springsteen opened for the Allman Brothers in Asbury Park, New Jersey, 1970 or 71. One of our listeners sent an email to. I'm trying to think if I saw anybody else that at the time I didn't know. I saw the Rolling Stones and Tower of Power was unbelievable band, but they weren't a big time band. I just remember they sounded so great. Yeah, Paulie.
That one we were talking about, Prince opening for the Rolling Stones in 1980. Yeah. Prince did an interview about it years later, and he said all the fans were there, obviously, to see the Rolling Stones. They pelted me with fruits and vegetables, which I was surprised that they had brought into the stadium. I left after 15 minutes, but then I came back the next night and did a full set. And there's no video of either set.
I saw Counting Crows, and they opened up for John Mayer. And this is when John Mayer was a bigger deal than the Counting Crows at the time. I saw him in Irvine, California. And it was a good show. Yeah. Your body's a wonderland. Yes, Marv.
Did he sing Daughters?
No, not at the time. He hadn't written that.
A lovely song.
Yes. Yeah.
You know he hates singing that concert.
Probably.
He has to.
Yeah.
He has
But it's like Darius Rucker has to sing Wagon Wheel for the rest of his career.
But that song's fun.
I mean, it's a big deal, but you got to play that every time. And one time I saw him, and I told him that prior to the show, I go, you got to play Wagon Wheel tonight. He goes, I know. He started singing it. He turns to look at me side stage, and he flips me off. And I flipped him off back. I'm like, yeah, you got to play that? Yeah, hold my hand there.
But then he got home, and he was just like, you know what? This is not so bad.
Yeah, he looked around. Yeah,
he put on his Ric Flair robe and was like, you know what?
Yeah,
this actually isn't so bad.
Picked up some of his Grammys, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think I could survive 4 minutes of singing Wagon Wheel. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Got a bunch of them. 1888, the EPL, the English Football League, was established, Dan.
Mm.
1904, a patent was issued for the baseball catcher, the catcher's mitt, which was different than the regular mitt.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a big one. 1967, Muhammad Ali was stripped of his heavyweight title for refusing to be inducted into the U.S. Army. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Big one for you. 1969, UCLA beat Purdue to become the first college basketball team to win 3 straight NCAA titles.
They blew out Rick Mount and Purdue, and Lou Alcindor was the MVP.
Yep.
Outstanding, most outstanding player.
1994, the NFL announced the addition of the 2-point conversion. It was the league's first scoring change in 75 seasons.
Oh, all right. And, of course, 1986, Michael Jordan is held to 8 points in a loss to the Cavs. He only played, 14 minutes, and he was coming back from an injury. That was the only game in his career where he didn't score in double figures.
No excuses.
Literally 1 foot.
Overrated.
Got to get at least 15 points there.
Thank you, Todd. Let's see. Tobin in Ohio. Hi, Tobin. What's on your mind today?
Hey, first-time caller, long-time viewer, 5'9", 200.
All right.
I was just wondering what the talk about the Cam Newton and seeing his path and his discussion of his path, how this is hurting maybe the marketability of guys like a Lamar Jackson, maybe a Justin Fields, somewhere in the future, how they're going to go. I just noticing that might hurt their path. And
I think if you're looking at – so Cam Newton is now 33. The drop-off that he had was around the same age, I believe, that Lamar Jackson is. Maybe a year away, maybe 2 years away. And, yes, that would be a cautionary tale. I would think so. But I don't think you need Cam Newton to give the rest of the league sort of an open-eyed look here and go, eventually he's going to be a pocket passer or predominantly a pocket passer. And Chris Sims was with us yesterday, and he said, you know, he can be a pocket passer. People don't believe that, but Lamar Jackson can be a very, very good pocket passer. But I don't know if Cam was really auditioning or just, hey, not really auditioning, but if you're interested in me, I can roll left, throw right for 50 yards. And, of course, that's all we want in our quarterbacks now when we watch them at their pro day. Did he roll left and throw right across his body for 50 yards? Yes, Eden.
Except the younger kids seem to be doing it for like 70.
Yes. Well, Cam threw it, and it was like you could have had a fair catch. Like you could have signaled for a fair catch. It wasn't like, oh, man, he put that right on the numbers. And it feels like C.J. Stroud is going to be the number one overall pick. And as soon as we say that, I know ESPN has been saying that. Chris Sims says by far and away C.J. Stroud should be the number one quarterback. Then I see a report, Panthers all in on Bryce Young. I'm going, one of these two things isn't true. But maybe they're trying to still create that, hey, if you like this guy, you better come up and get him. Hey, Houston, if you like him, you better come up and get him. Or the Colts, or whoever it might be. Final results of the poll question.
Dan, final results of the poll question. We had up there, excuse me, do you feel bad for Mike Trout last night?
Okay.
The World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
75% said absolutely not.
Okay.
We also threw up there who was the big winner from last night's game and just baseball in general, or the whole tournament, rather.
Tommy in Madison. Hi, Tommy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Dad. It's a 6 foot to 205, a moon shine polish. Thank you so much. First things first, a big shout out to Bill Bradley. Evidently, he lost one of his championship rings. We here in Wisconsin feel kind of bad for you. We lost a quarterback to a room without a light switch in it. So, you know, good luck. Good luck finding that. But just what you were alluding to, the World Baseball Classic. I mean, when was the last time at the end of March with brackets, the NBA, free agency, that we've talked about baseball at the end of March? I mean, what's next year's follow-up going to be, bringing in Jim Brockmeyer? The MLB is getting a lot of attention, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think it's warranted. I think that there's rule changes. There's genuine momentum here. And these are things that are making the game better. Yeah, Paul.
That guy was doing a set.
Yes,
really?
He was.
Working out his routine on
that. Yeah. Fritzy, take note. You know, write down some jokes there.
That's not necessary, Tom.
It's not necessary.
Not necessary.
He has to get one in right before the end of the show.
But you're done as a stand-up comedian.
I didn't say that. I know you guys put pressure on him.
See, he's Jim Boeheim in you right now.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be a singer-songwriter instead of a
stand-up. Are you going
comic.
To do a stand-up act? When we go to Vegas next year for the Super Bowl.
You're putting too much pressure on me. I don't like to lock in a date. You know, that's how I get. If I decide, it'll be like a last-minute thing. And
You know what? That's not the way to go towards a stand-up act, is last minute. You know, that this isn't, you know.
I thought things went well in Minneapolis, and then they deteriorated a little bit in Atlanta.
Okay.
And then New York and L.A. was not good.
Well, here's the thing. When we said you were going to be performing in Minnesota, Minneapolis, we had an unbelievable fan base.
They were very
there.
Supportive.
Yes.
I was very loose. I was up for like 17, 18 minutes,
yes.
Just kind of ripping.
Yes.
And then when I started really focusing on it, it was just no.
It depends on how popular we are in these cities. And we weren't popular in New York, and it certainly did show that night at Caroline's.
I didn't get much love from the group there, including the people I work with, hearing you, like, you know, crunch on the ice of the ginger ale or something.
Oh. Hey, don't blame us.
I'm not blaming.
Nobody was laughing, and you could hear us. You could hear us crunching on ice.
Once you start cursing or saying, "Am I right? Am I right, people?"
I can hear Seton digesting his meal.
And then to top it all off, the funniest part of Fritzy's stand-up act was McLovin tucked the tablecloth into his pants accidentally, and then he stood up, and all the glasses, you know, fell on the floor.
Now, if McLovin did that every time Fritzy was on stage, we'd have
that
to.
That would have helped a lot.
Maybe if Fritzy had done that, you could have gotten a laugh.
That's
there.
What I should have done.
Seton, do you know what the sponsor is here on What We Learned? I seem to have lost my paper.
Yeah, Dan, you're not still overpaying for razors, are you? In this economy? Gross.
Gross.
With Dollar Shave Club, you can get a top shelf shave at a regular shave shave price.
It is tough. That is tough.
You could get a top shelf shave at a regular shelf price.
That's why I'm not touching that SH.
Yeah, you're not.
Dollar
doing
Shave
it.
Club.
Yeah.
I use the shave.
Todd,
it's available at a store near you in the men's razor aisle.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
Former senator and 2-time champion of the Knicks, Bill Bradley, misplaced one of his title rings, but he thinks it's in the house somewhere.
Yes. It'd be nice that you have two that you misplaced once.
And he's going to send you a signed Converse.
Seton, what did you learn today?
Sonny Vaccaro has a fascinating place in sports history.
Marvin.
Fritzy might come back to stand-up.
Mm. Paulie.
Prince opened for the Rolling Stones.
Todd, what did I learn today?
We all learned you'd arrive at the Boston Garden 3 hours early to cover the NBA Finals just to watch Larry Bird warm up.
What We Learn, brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Paul Pierce, former Celtic, joining us on the program tomorrow. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, the all-around support. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary. It's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone via the Mercedes Me Connect app, the vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.